All quiet, I said, jerking my head to the north to suggest I'd been visiting the sentries on the Sephern side of the hill. They are frightened of us, he said. So they should be. I faked a huge yawn, then pushed myself away from the ship and walked a couple of paces north as though I was stretching tired limbs, then pretended to notice my helmet at the water's edge. What's that? He took the bait, going into the ship's shadow to bend over the helmet, and I drew my knife, stepped close to him, and drove the blade up into his throat. I did not slit his throat, but stabbed it, plunging the blade straight in and twisting it, and at the same time I pushed him forward, driving his face into the water, and I held him there so that if he did not bleed to death, he would drown. And it took a long time, longer than I expected. But men are hard to kill. He struggled for a time, and I thought the noise he made might bring the men from the nearest fire. But that fire was 40 or 50 paces down the beach, and the small waves of the river were loud enough to cover the Dane's death throes. And so I killed him, and no one knew of it. None but the gods saw it. And when his soul was gone, I pulled the knife from his throat, retrieved my helmet, and went back to the ship's prow, and waited there until dawn lightened the eastern horizon. Waited till there was a rim of grey at the edge of England. And it was time. I strolled toward the nearest fire. Two men sat there. Kill one, I sang softly, and two, then three, kill four and five, and then some more. It was a Danish rowing chant, one that I had heard so often on the Wind Viper. You'll be relieved soon, I greeted them cheerfully. They just stared at me. They did not know who I was, but just like the man I had killed, they were not suspicious even though I spoke their tongue with an English twist. There were plenty of English in the Danish armies. A quiet night, I said, and leaned down, and took the unburned end of a piece of flaming wood from the fire. Egil left a knife on his ship, I explained. And Egil was a common enough name among the Danes to arouse no suspicion. And they just watched as I walked north, presuming I needed the flame to light my way onto the ships. I passed the hovels, nodded to three men resting beside another fire, and kept walking until I had reached the centre of the line of beached ships. There, whistling softly as though I did not have a care in the world, I climbed the short ladder left leaning on the ship's prow, and jumped down into the hull and made my way between the rowers' benches. I had half expected to find men asleep in the ships, but the boat was deserted except for the scrabble of rats' feet in the bilge. I crouched in the ship's belly, where I thrust the burning wood beneath the stacked oars, but I doubted it would be sufficient to set those oars aflame, and so I used my knife to shave kindling off a rower's bench. When I had enough scraps of wood, I piled them over the flame and saw the fire spring up. I cut more, then hacked at the oar shafts to give the flames purchase, and no one shouted at me from the bank. Anyone watching must have thought I merely searched the bilge, and the flames were still not high enough to cause alarm. But they were spreading, and I knew I had very little time, and so I sheathed the knife and slid over the boat's side. I lowered myself into the Pedradon, careless what the water would do to my mail and weapons. And once in the river, I waded northward from ship's stern to ship's stern until at last I had cleared the last boat and had come to where the grey-bearded corpse was thumping softly in the river's small waves. And there I waited. And waited.